Percussion needs a little bit of refinement, but apart from that, it was pretty good. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we do indeed rejoice that we can enter your gates with thanksgiving. We can come to your house to praise you, to worship you, to be uplifted by your spirit, to have fellowship one with another, but claiming also that promise that where two or three gather in your name, there you are also. And so we claim that promise this morning, Lord, as we come and gather in your house to worship and to praise you. For we do praise you. We praise you for the wonderful, caring, loving, compassionate God that you are. Not distant and remote, but here now with us and within us. We come to worship you in song, in words. We come to give thanks. Thanks for all that you are and mean and do for us. Thank you for your creation. Everything we see around us, we know has been created by you for us. From the smallest flower to the widest universe. Things we don't even know yet, Lord. But you have created them. You have made them. And you've done that for us. What wonders we see. What wonders we are yet to behold. All we see now, Lord, is but a whisper of yours. We wait to see your word in thunder. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. But we thank you too. And we come here to thank you especially for Jesus. Your son, whom you sent to this earth to show your love in a very real and tangible way, to heal, to cast out demons, to show your compassion and your love, to raise from the dead. And yet you sent him, Lord, knowing that he too would be dead, nailed to a cross and left there until he died. But we know too, Lord, that in that death he took upon himself all our sins, all our frailties, our weaknesses, that we might be cleansed. We might be able to start again as followers of yours. But we know that death was not the end. For he rose from the cross. He rose from the grave. He rose to life. Showed himself to so many others as proof that he has power over death through you, and that through him we have that power too. How can we say thank you, Lord, for that gift? We can't earn it, we can't pay for it. We don't deserve it. And yet you have given us that gift of life after death in your heavenly kingdom. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you. For we don't deserve it. How often do we forget you, cast you to one side, think we know better, do and say things we shouldn't, and don't do the say or say the things that we should. Forgive us, Lord. In your mercy, forgive us. Empower us to be true disciples of yours. Fill us with your spirit even now, that we may rejoice that you are with us. And may we claim in your mercy your forgiveness. And now let's say together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us those sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, forever and ever. Amen. Next bit on my order of service says, theme talk. I'm always wary when it says theme talk, because it means I've got to tell you what I'm going to say. And if I've told you what I'm going to say, then, well, what's the point of having the sermon? You can go to sleep. You can play patience on your phones. You can do anything. So you're going to have to wait. There's a clue in there. Let's sing. Jesus is the name we honour. Let's sing. Just before you have the church news, I suppose I'd better explain why I'm here. Mention has been made of Jackie over here, and Jackie and I go back a long way. I think we first met when you were minister at Ilkeston United Reformed Church in 1843 or whenever it was. And we've sort of kept in touch, and paths have crossed along the way. And she comes to preach with us at Melton very often. And she's the person who said, "We've got a gap in February, do you want to come?" Well, I couldn't really say no, could I? So if it all goes wrong, blame Jackie. I'm an elder at Melton Mowbray, so that's where the connection to Melton comes from. And I'm also, for my sins, the Synod Property Officer for the United Reformed Church. So if you see me looking around the building during the hymns, it's because I'm doing a sort of survey, you know, but there you go. So that's me, that's why I'm here. And now let's have some church and other news.
Good morning, everyone. A warm welcome to our service today. It's lovely to see you here on this bright sunny morning. And if you're visiting us and here for the first time, an especially warm welcome. It's good to welcome the Reverend Jeff Milnes. And I do apologise, my mistake. On the pew slip, it says Mines, and it should be Milnes. So apologies for
that. It's right up there.
For that mistake. And It's good also to welcome Martin Warsop, our musician. Thank you, Martin.
Just a quick technical hitch there. I'm not a reverend.
Oh, right.
I'm referred to, but I'm not a reverend.
Oh. Apologies again, then.
It's all right.
And before I go into the church news, I do have a sad news to share this morning of the death of our dear sister in Christ, Maureen Page. Maureen died earlier in the week in Peaker Park Nursing Home after a long illness, which has sadly meant she hasn't been with us in church for some time. And it's lovely to see Mike with us here this morning. We do welcome you, Mike. And we do remember you and your family and all those that love Maureen in our prayers at this time. The cremation service for Maureen will be at Great Glen on the 6th of March at 1:30, and that will be led by our Reverend Barry Osborne. So thank you, Barry, thank you. Moving on, thanks to Jan, who isn't here this morning, and to Sheila for their contribution to the service at the Methodist Church on Friday, the first of the Lent lunchtime services. So that seemed to go very well. And somebody said to me afterwards, "That'll be a hard act to follow." So hopefully we didn't let you down. You'll see on the pew slip, I think, a message from Julie, and Julie's here. I think you had a lovely birthday last Sunday, Julie. It was good that you were here with us, and thank you for your message. So Julie sends thanks for making the day and for the gifts and cards that she received. I'd also like to thank John this morning because he's done the pew slips this week, so it's great to have him back, helping with the pew slips once again. So thank you, John. I think you'll probably see an improvement now. Not so many typos. Barry sent me a message earlier in the week. He's looking, on behalf of the East Midlands Assembly, they are needing people to help with pastoral support within the area for people who work in other churches, and also help with treasurer support. So if anybody feels they've got a little bit of time to spare and would like to be involved with that, please have a word with Barry when we go through for coffee. The events for the week are as on the pew slip, so nothing to mention on that. Just to close, to say thank you, as every week, for your generous offerings that you give each week for our partner church in Targa Moores, and also for God's work here in our church and in Market Harborough. So thank you so much, and we ask for God's blessings for those gifts. Pam, thank you. We will be serving refreshments in the Jubilee Hall after the service. Thank you. Thank you.
Where's Julie, who had a birthday last week? Is she here? Julie, happy birthday for last week. A bit late for singing happy birthday, but somebody once said, birthdays are good for you. The more you have, the longer you live. So let's now have our Old Testament reading from Psalm 33.
This is Psalm 33, verses 12 to 22. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We, all of us, wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you.
Life gets pretty hectic at times, doesn't it? We chase around like headless chickens, going round and round in ever-decreasing circles, and find ourselves back where we started. So it's good, particularly here this morning, to be still, to acknowledge that the presence of the Lord is here, is with us now. His presence, his glory, and most of all, his power. So let's sing. Be still. For the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Now, in stillness and in quiet, let us bring our prayers of intercession to the Lord.
We have two particular prayer requests from within the fellowship to share this morning. Joyce, in the wider world, there's a great deal of distress at this present time, a lot that would cause us to be very unhappy and concerned about. So let's bring all our concerns to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, it's with thankfulness in our hearts that we come to bring our requests to you. We do so, Lord, because you have encouraged us to pray about everything, not to worry about anything. And Lord, there are many things that would naturally cause us anxiety. But we're so grateful that we can come to you and talk to you about them and know that you're listening, to know that you care, to know that you're powerful and can change things. So, loving God, we want to pray about the world in which we live. We're conscious that even in the heart of our government, during the last few days, there has been confusion and distress. Lord, we pray for our government and for the members of Parliament that you'll grant them wisdom and grace. We share their concern for their safety. We're very conscious of the times in which we live and the violence and anger which so often intrudes into everyday life. Loving God, we pray that you'll keep each one of them safe, Lord, that they might be able to fulfill their responsibilities without fear. We're conscious too, Lord, that the problems that were caused also reflect on something within our society today, and we're conscious of divisions. So, Lord, we do pray that you will heal divisions and help us, Lord, through our everyday lives to show your love, your value for each individual. We pray about the situation in the Middle East at this time. We pray for the conflict between Israel and Palestine. And Lord, we pray that you will grant wisdom in that situation. It would be so lovely, Lord, to see a two-party state there. And Lord, we just long that you will resolve the conflict. We're conscious, Lord, of the anger and the distress that has been caused over the last few months. We're conscious of the many who are kept captive. We're conscious of the many who have lost loved ones, and even more who've lost their livelihood and their homes. Lord, we pray that you'll bring peace. As we think about the situation in the Middle East, we're conscious too of the work of the Houthis and the attacks on shipping. We're conscious too of Ukraine and the violence that's happening there, the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. Lord, so many of these things feel beyond us. We cannot see a natural outcome. But Lord, we pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So loving God, we bring ourselves to you today. We pray for our fellowship and the life of this church. We give you thanks for one another. And we pray for those who exercise gifts and ministries both within the church and beyond the church. We pray that you'll be with us through this week, that wherever we go, we might take something of the sweetness of Jesus with us. We pray for those that are known to us who need your healing touch. And each of us, Lord, perhaps would quietly bring before you those that are known to us who need your healing touch at this time. We give you thanks for the life of the churches in Market Harbour and the surrounding area. We thank you for our fellowship, especially at this time as we're leading up towards Easter. Lord, we pray that your blessing will rest upon all the churches in this place. Help us to be shining witnesses for you. We pray, Lord, for the extension of your kingdom within this town and the surrounding area. We pray for our fellowship across the Congregational Federation. We thank you for its life, for its vision, for the enthusiasm that exists. And Lord, we pray that your blessing will rest upon each aspect of the life of the Federation and our part within it. So, loving God, we bring our prayers and we bring them with our thankfulness, thanking you for listening to us. Thank you, Lord, that as we have prayed, you've already been working, and Lord, we know that the very things we're concerned about, you're concerned about too. So Lord, we gratefully offer our prayers to you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We sing again. All my hope on God is founded, all my trust he shall renew. God unknown, he alone calls my heart to be his own. Hear Christ's call, one and all. We who follow shall not fall. Let's sing. And now our gospel reading from Luke.
Luke 12:35-48. And the reading begins with Jesus' words. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for you, for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, My master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much will be asked.